want to, like, I mean, if you're shutting down a power plant, it's very hard to make the message, you know, a bunch of hippies in a field don't want people to have electricity and don't want locals to have jobs. And I think we really have to demonstrate that it is actually, and what the camp is successful at doing is demonstrating that we have a different form of politics, a different way of life, and that this way of life is actually, you know, conducive to surviving the climate. Put off to say by the fact that people could come to camp and reporters could come to camp and walk around the entire camp and, you know, or hear about the direct actions from the news, and to their knowledge, it could just be in support of what is fundamentally a, you know, sort of green Stalinist platform like Mambio, calling for state-centered solutions, which will result in, you know, only more and more regulation and control over people's day-to-day lives. And that's fundamentally antithetical to anarchism and bottom-up self-organization. So we felt that would be good to actually have this debate as a whole, as a camp, because the future of the camp, and to some extent the future of the planet, is in the balance, that there are ultimately two options. That capitalism, by its own internal dynamics, is clearly failing, and we either have some sort of eco-totalitarian state, you know, controlled, you know, by people who may, at the current point, be our friends, you know, and or we're going to have some sort of push towards a more egalitarian anarchist society where actually our forms of life and our patterns of production and consumption and work change. And we believe this is such an important debate that it would be useful to have it at the entire camp, if at all possible, and to make sure that when we do direct action, people actually putting their you know, bodies on the line, that they can, to some extent, you know, green Stalinist program like Mambio's, I'm going to put my body on the line for an anti-capitalist, anti-authoritarian revolution. And there's and I would like for that to be very clear, and that right currently, I believe it's pretty unclear, and that therefore the debate should happen. We don't think people come to agreement, and it's healthy not to have agreement all the time. I would be shocked if people had a agreement on any of this. But I do think that having debate and having it in a constructive manner, which preserves the power of the camp and makes people think about this and think closely about how we're being interpreted and how the camp can be being possibly in the future used by different political forces, many of which we may not agree with, is a really important debate to have. One that should be open and accessible to everybody, not just the 30 or 40 people that stayed in discussion when everyone else ran out to on the false alarm about the police. So.
In what ways are we going to carry forward this debate then? Have you constructed methods to go forward with this?
Well, we didn't really feel that kind of the camp decision-making process was you know, the easiest way to go about it. We had an open letter that was on this topic that was circulated this morning and was discussed, I think, in most neighborhood meetings. And when that fed into the site meeting, it was very clear that this wasn't about taking a quick decision or, you know, railroading through an adoption of these five principles known as the PGA hallmarks. These quite clearly anti-capitalist and decentralist and direct action-oriented principles. So what we rather said was, well, we are going to continue these debates during the camp. I know that some neighborhoods have already scheduled times to do that. And we're also going to try and find a plenary space, perhaps on the Sunday after the actions, when we talk about the future of climate camp, in order to kind of put these issues much more clearly on the table and have an open debate with everybody.
Okay, thanks. That sounds good. So you'll obviously come back to us with news of that plenary meeting when it's arranged. So you've mentioned a statement or a letter that's been written and given out or read among the neighbourhoods, and that's going to be discussed over the next few days. But would you actually mind reading it out to us now? You have it with you.
Go for it, Gary.
Okay. We are a large group of anti-authoritarian participants in the climate camp. Many of us have put a great deal of time and energy into preparing and setting up the camp this year. We are writing to express our deep concern with the direction that the debates at the camp have taken in the past days. In more than one workshop, we have heard calls from the podium for command and control and market-oriented measures to address climate change, from taxation to tradable emissions permits. The responses to these proposals have been far too polite. While we recognize the importance of creating a welcoming and non-sectarian space, we feel that the camp risks losing contact with its anti-capitalist, anti-authoritarian roots and appearing as a gathering that lends its support to top-down, state-centered responses to the crisis that climate change and energy depletion pose for capitalism. As a result, even the mass action is now likely to be interpreted as a gesture of support for tightened social control and austerity measures visited upon the population, rather than expressing resistance to the exploitation, the crucial place of a radical perspective married to action at the core of the climate camp process. We therefore propose that the camp adopt the following principles as a statement of unity that will guide current discussions and future convergences. 1. A very clear rejection of capitalism, feudalism and imperialism, all trade agreements, institutions and governments promoting destructive globalization. 2. We reject all forms and systems of domination and discrimination, including but not limited to patriarchy, racism and religious fundamentalism of all creeds. We embrace the full dignity of all human beings. 3. A confrontational attitude, since we do not believe lobbying can have any major effect on such biased and undemocratic institutions where global capitalism is the only real decision maker. 4. A call to direct action and civil disobedience, support for social movements' struggles, emphasizing forms of action that maximize respect for life and oppressed people's rights, as well as the construction of local alternatives to global capitalism. And 5. An organizational philosophy based on decentralization and autonomy. So that's the text that was circulated today and is being debated, and we really hope that these debates are fruitful.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up shortly. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Alex, before we go?
I would just like to finish with one final thing. So I know that occasionally it does sound like the calls for anti-capitalism, anti-authoritarianism, they do seem relatively crazy sometimes. And I do think that to some extent people feel like they may be fundamentally, you know, possibly alienating. But at the same point, let us remember what the role of the state has been within the climate camp this year. That the state has raided the camp, you know, more or less without provocation. They have forced their way into the camp. They have, you know, physically hurt campers. The state itself seems to be willing to completely, you know, if given the opportunity, completely destroy this budding movement here. So therefore, I would say that it should be self-evident if one has had these experiences. I understand lots of people haven't, but if you have had these experiences, I think it should be, upon thinking of them, I would at least, it should be self-evident that one should be distrustful of, it seems, completely insane, possibly even more insane than, you know, anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anarchist forms of life. So I do think that, you know, while I know occasionally, you know, people do appear somewhat nutty, at the real nutcases, the real Looney Tunes, the real dangerous people in this current, in other words, the police.
All right.
Discussion, and we are going to go into a report from the RBS action that happened today.
Hello. 150,000 people who die every year from climate change. Students from around the country are protesting RBS as they have over £10 billion invested in fossil fuel extraction projects. They are the lead contributor in the financial world to climate change. They have more embedded emissions than the whole of Scotland. So blocking the front entrance, 13 other students helped took part in a die-in. And so we managed to blockade the front entrance for 15 minutes. We were met with some very friendly police who asked us to leave. So police are being far friendlier than they were at climate camp, which is a lovely relief. We've had Sky News cameraman and Channel 4 cameraman visit. And we've had lots of interested press. So if you look out tomorrow on the evening Channel 4 News, hopefully we'll be there. It doesn't look like we're going to finish anytime soon because the police aren't actually forcing us to do anything. So hopefully this protest will carry on successfully for another hour at least so we can hit the lunch hour. All right, Richard Rowe signing off. Hello, I'm 150,000 people.
Okay, so we're here at Climate Camp 2008. We're at the front line between the police and the protesters. Lovely day, the sun is out. Could you tell us why we're here, please?
No.
Okay.
We want to save the world.
To save the world. And how do you think you might save the world?
Well, if all the kids thinking if all the new coal power stations are built, that's 50% of the carbon budget for 2050. Considering we're already over the carbon budget for now, it doesn't seem a sensible idea. I'm sure if once people are aware of that, they'll sort of agree with what we're doing. I think sort of the local residents are like, oh, it's terrible, I've sent my kids off to Butlins, but it's we're not doing anything, you know, and we're not really doing anything illegal either. We're just sort of here to renewables.
Yeah. And do you have hope that it will happen, that this change will happen? And if you do or you don't, what might be the consequences?
I think that this has certainly got so much media attention, they're not going to build a new one. I don't think they're going to. And if they do, there are some people who are willing to go to lengths that, if you know, people have tried peaceful methods, they've sent out the letters, they've stood outside the little placards, and sometimes that's not enough.
Okay.
I think there are people who are going to...
The fact that there's other climate camps happening, that there's, well, for example, Paul Hawk and the colleges in the US talk about that the immune system of humanity is finally kicking in, that which keeps us alive is this collective movement of people realizing the problems which are leading to the destruction of our species and doing whatever need be to keep the species alive. So I'm just asking about
the emissions. Why aren't you in China protesting about those coal power stations? And it's like, well, if we don't get a firm stance and sort of go ahead, push forward with the renewables, none of the other developing countries, they're all looking to us in America for a sign, and if we're not setting the right example, it's not going to happen. I mean, somebody said like, we've got 100 months and then that's it. I mean, if there's only so much more that the ice caps can melt before climate change will become self-sustaining, because ice reflects the heat back more than the sea does. If there's less ice, more heat will be kept in, and it'll just get worse and worse, and there's flooding and droughts, and it's just, you know, some people talking to an American, he said, I don't believe in climate change. It's hard not to feel like throwing a tantrum sometimes and saying, can you not tell? But yeah, the evidence is there, and people are sort of waking up, and I think the solutions are there, and people are waking up. I think this is certainly going to sort of kickstart things.
Well, just say, for example, like in Britain, is it something? Is it still the minority of people that are involved with this sort of stuff? Are most people starting to go, yeah, we realise this problem, we want to get involved. Like, we realise this is not just a bunch of hippies in the field anymore. This is our future kids' survival.
I mean, I started trying to set up a group at school, and I was amazed, and I was so happy that there were so many people who were really ready to get involved, and I wasn't aware that people would be so positive about it. And they're like, oh yeah, let's get the greenhouse, let's get recycling, solar panels. People who before just seemed quite apathetic to the whole thing. And if you make things easy for people to do, and if you just say, look, sign this bit of paper, if enough people sign it, the government's going to do it.
I'm not sure what this is for.
No, I'm not sure either. But yeah, what was I saying now? Oh yeah, setting up the state school, and people were really positive about attitudes. If you don't have that attitude, then nothing will get done.
Exactly.
I think the government and corporations are more likely to want to deal with happy, smiley people than they are with sort of doom and gloom. I just think technology is advancing so much that if everyone works together for it, it's going to happen.
Yeah. And in terms of that, is this what you experienced about, or some of the things that you've learned from it, or some things that have been just highlights so far, or lowlights, or whatever?
Yeah. Well, it was like, you know, you got here and you looked around, and there's kids running around, and there's colourful flags and stuff, and you just sort of think, oh, I'm home. And it's been really good. Although getting up at 5 in the morning's been a bit. So I was in my pyjamas on Monday, sat here, and I'm like, right, I'm in pyjamas, I'm hungry now. But no, it has been really good. I don't think there's been any point where I felt sort of like miserable or anything. And even when sort of things were kicking off on Monday, people still, like, we all sat down, and this guy was giving a speech saying sort of to the police, you know, we're not we're not angry with you, we're not wanting to fight with you, you know, sit down and join us instead. It's just a really positive atmosphere. Mm.
And do you think that from these...
I'm not really... until now, I haven't been that active in terms of the environment and politics and things. And so when I heard about Climate Camp, I was like, right, I want to go because I'll meet people from my area and then we'll continue stuff afterwards. Like, I'm from Yorkshire, my group are going to carry on at Leeds Bradford Airport with sort of the aviation industry. And it's just it's like a melting pot, you know, you meet so many people and everyone's got really good ideas and you're talking to experts and they know what they're doing.
And do you think it's the sort of thing that maybe next year you could be bringing your family to, your granny, your cousins?
Yeah, my mum wanted to come, but at the same time she's worried about me and, you know, she's like, oh, don't get into trouble, don't get arrested, there's so many police. And
But it's like for people who aren't here and like how it's being portrayed, like maybe like do you know about what sort of message is being put out to the...
Yeah, there has been a lot of negative messages, but at the same time I've been sort of keeping people at home updated and they've all been saying, you know, it looks really good and some of the papers have been reporting really positive things. And at the same time, you know, when I said to the people in my school, oh, you know, do you want to join this group, they were really keyed up about coming. It was that they just weren't aware.
Yeah.
I'm sure with all the news now, I can just imagine all these people sat at home going, God, I want to be there.
Yeah. Well, there's still time. Yeah,
there's still time.
Cool. Okay, we'll finish up just by saying a message to everyone in the world today and tomorrow.
I just think people have got to start... people have got to stop focusing on the financial cost of things and just think, you know, if we don't do something now, what's the cost to the human race as a whole? Because the world's going to survive, there's no doubt about that, but human race might not. And I think if people are genuinely bothered...
They're doing something, so thank you, Isa.
Yeah, thank you.
And we are back live in the studio, and I'm sitting with Danny, who is going to give us a little bit of a media update. What's the situation? There's lots of actions that have happened.
Yeah, that's right. It might be good first just to make sure everyone knows about the three different actions that people from the camp have been involved in this morning. So some of it was people really going from the camp, and some of it was some friends that they met there. But we've had an action at the... big agrofuels refinery at Thurrock, where people lock themselves together with lock-on tubes and lay down in front of the gates to block the lorries from coming in. Pretty amazing. That was about 8 o'clock this morning. And also then there was an action around the same time at Gatwick Airport, where some activists from Plain Stupid, who feelings inside the terminal, did drop banners saying end short haul flights. They also had a banner in the train station at the airport, which was like end short haul flights, let the train take the strain. And they were then also they had people with fake sort of spoof information t-shirts which looked like they were official airport t-shirts, but instead of saying can I help you, they said can I hinder you. And when people came and asked them for information, they told them to take the train into the Royal Bank of Scotland in central London. And you know, people locking themselves to chain themselves together in the front and covering themselves in oil and pretending to be dead thanks to RBS's evil funding of E.ON and various other awful fossil fuel projects. All of those, as far as we know, I mean, I don't know the details for media coverage of the Gatwick one, but at the Royal Bank of Scotland action from all the sort of mainstream channels, and various other journalists and photographers have been really interested. We've had lots of calls. They're all press released, and we've had lots of calls from all sorts of different media, including the print media, wanting photographs, wanting information. So it's been really, really good because it means out there, we've got all these spokespeople on these actions talking about the issues in the media. Apparently, they're about to. There was a BBC news report just now, which apparently was very good. Sort of people putting their point across, quite sympathetic towards us, and they're about to go live on ITV. I think from that front, it's been a brilliant opportunity for us to actually be out there talking about climate change, talking about the issues, rather than all the crap we've had to deal with so far. Yeah. And also, it's been brilliant that we've had these three different strands actions. Of climate change action.
Yeah.
So we're making sure the focus isn't just on coal, that we're also talking about the financing of fossil fuel projects. We're talking about agrofuels and the sort of looming disaster there.
Yeah.
And we're talking about aviation still, because the problem of a press release that pulls all this together and makes it really clear that Climate Camp is about so much more than just being stopping this one power station, that we're here to show the links between all the different things in the economy that are causing climate change and how.
For the agrofuels action, so could you tell us about it? What happened today and what's the situation currently?
I know that a whole group of people went out this morning, early this morning, energy fuel depot, and five of them have since been arrested. There are still people there. Some are on. They climbed up a silo, dropped a banner from the silo, and locked on the.
Okay, great. And are there any arrests or any situation with medics or anything like that?
So I know that five people have been arrested and five people have been injured by the police trying to drag them off the site.
On camp at the moment?
Not as yet. I know that a van is on its way, but that was part of the action.
Okay.
They believe they're being taken to Basildon Police Station.
Okay.
Which is in Essex near Thurrock, where the action was, and if people from the camp are available to head out there later today and try and be there when they come out of the police station, it's like there's sort of brutal policing. So if people could be there to say hi to them when they come out and give them a bit of a welcome, I think they probably really appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much for coming in live and giving us this update for today. But while I'm on air, I'm just going to mention some things for everybody. If you are out and you would like to do a recording of an interview or something and you're on in action and you want to send some audio stuff to us, there's a number you can call, and that is 020-704-33783, menu number 6. And basically you can record and we'll get the audio and we can use it on the show. Obviously, this radio station is brought to you by several radio stations, those being Dissident Island, to a track by Radio Revolution. Yeah, shout out to Jimmy the Fish, by the way. But Duncan was going to let us know something about the actions.
Yeah, we've just received word that there have been no other arrests and any other actions, as far as we know. The reason there might have been a bit more brutality at the biofuels action was...
What we were thinking was that because everything else we've seen, like all the other actions, it all seemed to happen quite peacefully, but at the biofuels action, the police got there before the media... and so, you know, they just did what they thought they could get away with. But also, it was the Essex Police, who are currently under the command of the Kent Police, and who obviously don't really like us very much at the moment. And in fact, apparently some Kent Police arrived at the site. Everyone else involved, as far as we know, in all three actions, has sort of walked free, you know, with all their banners and equipment at the end of the day.
So we shouldn't be put off by the actions of a few.
Yeah, absolutely, people. But generally, overall, you know, the news has been good, and we shouldn't focus too much on the bad. Although, obviously, if anyone can get there to meet them and you know, give them a bit of a welcome, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Cool.
Yo, I just wanted to say, apologise for that there, wee technical thing. And next up, we're actually going to have a poem which was recorded by Duncan, called Front by Front.
Yeah, we're still experiencing some technical difficulties.
Would you also like to hear a poem?
Yeah!
You should have said no. It would have been embarrassing. I'm glad you said yes. So, okay, this is a poem that was inspired by last year's climate camp, and I think it's still relevant this year too. It's called Lifestyle Choice. It goes like this. Feeling hardy in my cardi. Armed with insulation foam, I pit my wits against the cracks and splits that fill my leaky home. With a mighty laugh, I block the draft beneath the kitchen door. Just another night of fighting in this endless eco-war. On the supplier, I cycle, I recycle, I have more faith than George Michael. That getting my own lifestyle right, the only way to win this fight. Even though mine, friends and neighbours, strangely unmoved by my labours, keep taking reckless impulse flights, leave their TVs on all night, and defend their God-given right to 60,000 Christmas lights. Until one day's moral tussle, local or organic muscles, pushed guilt fatigue to new extremes. That night, I had the strangest dreams. I dreamt that Martin Luther King was standing by my compost bin and with impassioned words told me which methods he preferred to keep the fruit flies out and the kitchen peelings in. But as he gave my crazy paving speech after noble speech of his dreams of different compost schemes with pros and cons for each, he wasn't a sadder, darker place. That vision burst. I fell headfirst into another scene where Chris and Sylvia Pankhurst, their mother Emmeline, and a thousand other suffragettes sought recognition and respect, but not with shouts and chants and chains and hunger strikes to stake their claims. They sought the same effect by being sure, when at the store, to only ever choose kitchen products guaranteed to be empowering to use. Then I saw Gandhi getting handy with a pair of bathroom plumbers, but by fixing leaky taps and putting bricks inside their cisterns. While the abolitionists, instead of fighting slavery, just stayed at home and put a bit less sugar in their tea. While Che Guevara avoided the palaver over was he a hero or a merciless killer by staying indoors, down on all fours, launching attacks on the skirting cracks with eco-polyfiller. I woke up with a start, with pounding heart, my body aching, and my belief in the observer's lifestyle pullout badly shaken. Even I could see that eco-piety is great for scaring off speed dates, but it won't change society. I should be the change I want to see, try to avoid hypocrisy, but brilliant to be done. If I want to be noticed by the people with power, should I join a mass protest or fit a new shower? And getting in a panic because my balsamic's not organic is less useful and more draining than just doing some campaigning.
Woo!
So, now I've met people all around me I would otherwise have missed. Young, old, often well-respected, unexpected activists. They don't just care, they are prepared to take the action that's required. My plumber and my mum are feeling equally and this is how I know that if you want to stop the tales of climate doom coming to pass, yes, reduce your carbon footprint, then use it to kick some ass.
Yo. There and yeah, so as you can hear, some actions are actually just starting to get underway at the camp, which is a really positive what's going on here. And don't forget, one of our aims is to take direct action, and you know, we want to take action against the causes. So just while we get that, what we'd like to say is it's now being confirmed that the police have evicted the Derbyshire coal mine. It's they've launched a full eviction attempt this morning on Bodge House Squat in Shipley, Derbyshire. The house is located on the site of it. We're granted a possession order for the squatted farmhouse on the planned Lodge House opencast coal mine site. For some time it has been anticipated that an eviction is imminent, particularly as the climbing team used against the road protesters has been seen around the site. It is evident that with the climate camp happening at King's North Power Station, the police saw their opportunity to move in. A little bit of background perhaps as well. They barricaded themselves in a disused farm building and took to the trees on the site of the opencast mine. Under the cover of darkness, activists secured themselves in the Prospect Farm building on the site, which is about to be devastated by huge machines, and claimed squatters' rights. Rock on to Section 6. Help is needed, so go down if you can. If you're not at the camp, get your ass down to Derbyshire. If you want more information, go to nottingham.indymedia.org.uk about information about how to get there. And just in relation to general cop crap, the Bold Court Social Centre in London was also evicted this morning. I think they're having a bit boo, which is the home of Dissident Island and many other groovy groups. So if you're in London and you know where Bold Court is, if you could drop around, that would be quite helpful, as I think they're trying to get gear out of there and trying to reclaim a little bit of what is really ours, not theirs. Going to have a track. And what happened earlier was we kind of... my laptop ran out of power playing a track, so we're going to go for another one from the same album, which is by...
Radio Revolution.
Salvador, dime cómo viven, en qué situación. Cuéntame la historia, cuéntame la sangre, cuéntame Bolivia, cuéntame los Andes, cuéntame Temuco.
Welcome back to Climate Camp Radio. Next up, we're going to have a few little recorded pieces just about, like, from you guys who are out there, which is really about why are you here? And actually, we got a little bit from the vegan bakery as well, and respect to the vegan bakery.
So again, we're at a very nice, relaxed front line here. Can you tell us why you're at Climate Camp?
I'd be happy to. The Industrial Revolution, at places like the Battle of Peterloo in Manchester, the Peterloo Massacre, 200 years ago, people stood up for the right to freely associate in any number, defying acts of Parliament that limited the numbers that could be associated to two or three, and in support of the right of the younger generation, who I'm delighted are the majority here, to express their views peacefully in the original parliamentary democracy. And I'm very proud to be here with this.
And in terms then of the actual, what this free assembly that we have and are doing, what it's being met with by the systems of power at the moment that we're beside.
I'm able to sit here and appreciate the paradox that it does seem that they are seeking to limit our right to protest. On the other hand, you'll find, as I've been talking to some of the officers this morning, that some of them could, in other circumstances, have enjoyed some good conversation with some of the officers this morning. And I think it's not a confrontation. I think it's a learning experience for us, a potential learning experience for everybody. And I believe that the being here with the officers is just as a good use of my time as going to any workshop, because by sitting here now and maintaining this perimeter now, it'll ensure that there's a discussion space in the future.
These dialogues would end up in situations like this normally ended up in this side versus that side, whereas right. The issue is what we're trying to work out what we have to do to keep our species exactly. alive exactly. so that, like, everybody, it affects everybody yeah. So that's why I've seen some of the police not in past discussions, so like it's what's happening here is yeah. profound, and it's amazing. So it's like you said, like
I feel that if we get the future that we want for all of us, and that everybody's free to express their hope in that future.
Okay, and just to finish off, if you have any message for everyone, what would it be?
Come get involved with things like Climate Camp. Whatever the issue, whether it's disarmament, whether it's US militarism, whether it's China, whatever the issue, get involved and come and sit here on the perimeter. And
so, what's your name?
Kathy.
And you were in the bakery today. What were you doing there?
I was making cakes and selling them.
So, do you like making vegan cakes?
Yeah.
What's your favorite one?
Carrot cake.
Ooh, and do you know any of the ingredients that go into carrot cake? Can you tell us the recipe, maybe?
I know this of the recipe. You have walnuts, flour, raisins, golden syrup.
Then you mix it all together.
Oil.
We used a bit of oil.
Yeah.
That sounds really yummy. And I'm here with Elsa. Elsa's in the vegan bakery that's on site that will be providing us with bread and other baked goods during the course of Climate Camp. So how's it going there?
Well, it's now up and running, finally. I've been waiting for it to be run, but police have made it very difficult for the oven to get on and all of our ingredients. And we've just had some more ingredients ordered because we've had a lot of requests for gluten-free.
Mm.
And I'm not going to coordinate the bread, but I'm hoping that other people on site will come and make bread. So come and see me. I've ordered some yeast and some flour for bread making.
Okay, so basically the vegan bakery is kind of open to anyone who would like to learn how to make.
The structure works that in the morning is workshops. It's two, one after the other, mm-hmm. and I'm leading them and I'm teaching basically how to make vegan cakes. Mm-hmm. and then in the afternoon, for people who already know how to make vegan cakes, can go and use the space, which is what it's there for, and can maybe skill share with a couple of other people who are there. Mm-hmm. So it's more structured in the morning. Yeah, obviously the cakes cost to make because they're all organic ingredients, and yeah, they're not cheap, but we've tried to cost them as minimal as we can, which is 60p a slice.
Okay.
Which is really reasonable.
Oh, definitely. That is one of your favourite cakes or bread.
What I might do instead is tell you the secret of vegan baking.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Which is really good. And most people who come to the workshops or I talk to about cooking, especially vegan cakes, and the way to do it is that you put all your ingredients together and you weigh them all out and you put them in a bowl and you don't stir it. You get the oven hot, you grease the tin, and then just when everything's ready like that, you mix it up, mix it and mix it and mix it, and get lots of air, lots of air in it. And that's the key, is getting air in it, because you've got no eggs. And then you put it, make a fluffy, gorgeous vegan cake.
Okay, so the process of pre-mixing is actually really bad for vegan cakes.
Oh, yeah,
that's really
because
interesting.
Because you need the air.
Yeah.
There's other techniques. They're quite scientific, some of them, like for cupcakes. Mm-hmm. I use cider vinegar and soy. It's quite scientific, actually. So if you get it wrong, it doesn't work. But yeah. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
It's my dream to be in an anarchist bakery. I'm so happy. Thank you, Climate Camp.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it smells amazing in there. I definitely recommend everybody walks over there for at least a sniff. Thank you.
Okay, so we're here in the front lines, the protesters and the police at Climate Camp, and it's very nice and relaxed, it's warm, it's not wet. So can you tell us why you're here, please?
I'm here because I believe that we need a future generation that is not fucked up by capitalism and climate change and all this, and that as children of the future generation, we need to sort it out for the next generation of people.
Excellent. So I just bumped into some of the, and what's been your experiences from the last few days here at the camp? Have you been here for a long time?
I've been here since Thursday. I was helping setting up, and it's really great. It's really friendly experience, and everyone's talking to each other, and no one's angry, or it's really, really friendly, and everyone's really nice, great environment, lovely big neighbourhood. Yeah. Really,
and you've learned a lot?
Yeah, I've learned quite a lot about things about climate change and why we're...
The young people, are many young people aware of these issues or feel strongly about it?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of young people here. There's a kids space, and it's really good for kids to come here and learn about climate change and stuff like that.
And to finish off, have you any message for the young people of the world?
Come to Climate Camp and have fun and learn about climate change and shut down Kingsnorth.
Mm. Excellent. Thank you.
Revolutions. You like to bike power everything by the sound of it. And do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing on the camp?
Hey there. Well, we came up to the camp, and we try as much as possible to get everywhere by bike. As three of us, so we took the train up down from London. Had quite a lot of stuff on trailers. We had these three bikes, three trailers. We got a bit of hassle getting on and off the trains, but we made it thankfully. And then we cycled all the way up to the site. Since we've been here, we've been sort of scouting around for things to pedal power. And we went to the power meeting when we first arrived, and they said, well, one thing you could do is pedal power the public access internet. So we're doing that from 5 to 7 every day. Stuff up for people, because we've got these amazing trailers that we've picked up from a great company called Carry Freedom. And we've been using them to go and pick up bread, for example, bring us with us. We didn't have enough space. And hopefully this evening we'll be putting on a little bit of party in the London tent from about 9 o'clock. So anyone who wants to come down and party, or come down and even play some tunes possibly, just get in touch and let us know. Okay.
Where are you based? Where are you based usually?
We're based in Cambridge, but we do a lot of stuff in London as well. Yeah, this is our first time for all of us down at climate camp, so it's an interesting camp, being like measuring voltages across solar panels, asking people about their kit, you know, lending people inverters and so on. It's been a really, really good experience for us, definitely.
So will you be going to other similar events in other parts of the UK? Or
later on in the year, though, we're going to be doing some pedal-powered parties up in Cambridge where we get all our kit, 10 bikes, 10 trailers, take it down the park, set it up. Wicked. Do some like nice sunny day music, and that's what we're planning for the rest of the summer. Beyond that, hopefully we'll be doing more bits and bobs later on in the year, so keep your eye out.
So how big is your sound system then?
We haven't actually got our own sound system at the moment. We're off two bikes and they're absolutely tremendous for recorded music, but for live music they're not good enough. So at the moment we're just trying to get together our own sound system that we can take around, and we've seen a lot of people's sound systems and they're fantastic, but we've got this added problem where we've got to try and fit everything on and the smallest speakers, lightest speakers we can find. So we always have this extra challenge of trying to not fit everything in a van.
I know, so there's a party up in London tonight?
Yeah.
From what time?
I think from about 9 o'clock, once everyone's finished eating. Yeah, anyone that's got any music they want. Apparently there might be some decks on site. If there is, please, please, please bring them down. Anyone with any vinyl, bring them down. We might have to vet the music as the party throwers. But yeah, if you get it past us, you're on. So give Lucy a phone on 07793 767 914 if you would like to come and play at tonight's party. Where can they find me? Oh, they find me in the internet area, actually. That's probably a better bet, is to come over to the media tent between 5 and 7, where we're going to be powering all the internet access for the public, you guys checking your emails rather than the media doing special media stuff. That's actually probably a better bet than giving me a phone. Just come on over.
Impromptu interview, sorry for springing it up.
We've got... Introduce yourself.
Nathan Ball.
Right, and you're going to play us a song or two, perhaps?
Yes.
Great. Okay. And so take it away.
Chosen motivations, inconsequential situations, overlooked by wide and dazzled eyes, celebrity obsessed and pacified. We're taking it all right in. We let them supersize these lies, happily ingesting them. McDonald's for the mind, a little glitter for the eyes. Torsion for our soul, right in. We let them airbrush out the lies, so there's no need for them to compromise on McDonald's or the mind. Slacks and smoke screens, the modern day mystery.
This one's called Footprints, and probably the most relevant song I've written for.
to us in flashes, or would we find that we could focus? For long periods, these presages become normal, so we're always looking forward, forgetting all that. Inside my country, looking through the window pane, and I watched a little insect struggle to regain itself, but stumble from each inconvenience to face the same. We never quite appreciate the power of the rain till we've seen the complications a single droplet makes. Leave nothing but footprints and she'll be fine. What if we took that insect and we solemns do? The single drop becomes a wave, the window pane becomes an ocean, the breeze becomes a wind that magnifies the wave's momentum. Then it surges on its course, armed with the grace of Mother Nature, dishing out the consequences for those actions made against her. Take nothing but pictures, kill nothing but time. Beaches, tides will not come rolling in and wash them all away. And for so long we've been quite happy fixing problems temporarily, occasionally reacting to pictures on the news, but out of sight and out of mind, cause we've got other ground to stand on, living in our bubbles while those problems reproduce. Nothing but pictures, kill nothing but time. Leave nothing but footprints and shame. But pictures, kill nothing but time. Leave nothing but our footprints and she might smile again. In flashes, would we find that we could focus for long periods of time? And if the latter were true, then would these presages become normal? So we're always looking forward.
Thank you very much for that. That was really nice. To Balcourt. But I don't know if it's going to happen. Is it going to happen?
It is going to happen.
It is going to happen. It's, well, it's a music salute to Balcourt and a particular resident, Massimo, if you're out there listening.
We love you, Massimo.
Oh, yes, we do.
We hope you appreciate this. And it's also a little tribute to our friends in the sky. So,
yes, boss. Yes, boss. Yes, boss. Yes, boss. Police in helicopter. I search for marijuana. Policemen in the streets. Searching for cali weed. Soldiers in the field. Burning the cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. Soja in the herb field, burning the cali weed. Police in helicopter, a search for marijuana. policemen in the streets searching for Cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. After I search for marijuana, policemen in the streets searching for Cali weed. Policemen in the field burning the car down the cane fields. If you continue, we don't trouble your banana, we don't trouble your corn, we don't trouble your pimento. Burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the police in helicopter. I search for marijuana. Policemen in the streets searching for Cali weed. But if you